Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. This is Sermon on the Mount material. And we're going to spend a couple week talking about something that affects every one of us. It's affected every one of us here probably in the last week. If not the last month, and certainly if not the last month, the last year. Because how many of you know when you interact with people, there's always opportunity for things to happen? Amen? Good things and not so good things, right? I want to talk about forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness.
Yeah.
In the instant, it's always interesting. Whenever I talk about this, doesn't matter where I'm at. The instant you mention the word forgiveness among a body of believers, there's a sense that changes in the room. It gets pretty sober and in some ways gets a little bit more tense, because when you talk about the topic of forgiveness, it begins to stir up emotions within people. Any of you here, have anybody ever wronged you to whatever degree? Just raise your hand quickly and put it down. Yeah. Probably happened in the last month. Certainly in the last 365 days, you've been in a situation where either you had to ask for forgiveness or you had to offer forgiveness. Am I right? Okay, a few honest people in the crowd. When you deal with people, there's going to be opportunity for error. There's going to be opportunity for mistakes to be made, to where we're going to have to eat humble pie and ask somebody to forgive us how we acted or what we said or how we maybe handled something. Isn't that right? Am I just the only one? But I think we've all been there. Or somebody has acted towards us or done something towards us in a way that we had to, when they came and asked for forgiveness, we had to offer it to them and say, yes, I'll forgive you. And I was sharing with some of the staff this week that the ministry is not a vocation that is stress-free. Right? Why? It's not because the job at hand is necessarily so complex, but because it involves people, it's not a, you know, being in the ministry is not a stress reliever. And that's not a wine. I don't need any cheese with my wine, or I don't need any crackers with my wine. That's not a wine. It's just a deal that when you deal with people and on a daily basis, when you get a few hundred people together, on a daily basis, there's probably an opportunity for me to either offend somebody or for somebody to offend me. Are you with me? Yeah. So this idea of forgiveness is something that we're going to talk about, and we're going to approach it from a way that maybe you haven't thought about before. But forgiveness is always tied to judgment. Everybody say judgment. Have you ever had anyone tell you, don't judge me? Okay. This idea of judgment being tied to forgiveness is so true, and it's powerful. And some would say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, if I feel like Leah has offended me, I'm making a judgment call. And my judgment call that I'm making is that she did something wrong in my judgment. She's then going to make a judgment call. And she may agree with me that she was wrong, or she may make the judgment that she wasn't wrong, and it's just my problem. Are you with me? So we're going to start in the area of judgment, because that's really where forgiveness, that's where the whole thing, in my opinion, that's where the whole idea of forgiveness and just the concept of either needing it or giving it starts in the area of making a judgment call. So let's read where Jesus talked about making a judgment call. He says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, you heard in verse 21, you've heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. That phrase, by the way, of Raca, we're not going to go into the details of that because it's a whole other discussion. But that's making a judgment of the head. In other words, it's that's why he says shall be in danger of the council. But then the next one goes a little deeper. It says, whoever says you fool will be in danger of hellfire. That's making a judgment of somebody's heart. How many of you know you can't judge somebody's heart? How does that tie to forgiveness? How many times have we said this? Well, I just know that they meant to do that. Nobody? Somebody comes and asks forgiveness and have you ever done this? Well, they're really not sorry for it. Well, how do you know that? You're making a judgment call. Well, I know they're not. Well, how do you know that? Well, you can just tell. No, you're just making a judgment call. Right? Okay, and you may be exactly right. Somebody may just be going through the motions of, fine, will you forgive me? And their heart may not be in it, or their heart may be fully in it. This idea of forgiveness is such a deep area, it really is, because it causes us, if we're going to deal with it correctly, it causes us to truly become self-aware. And until we can look at ourselves, regardless of what somebody's done to us or what we need to go and ask somebody to forgive us for doing, we've got to look at ourselves. Everybody say ourselves. Until we can, I don't believe that we can fully go through the dynamics of true forgiveness until we can look at ourselves and be able to become self-aware about the topic. Okay. Now, let's go on. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar... So this is an idea of worship. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Have you ever found that either lack of unforgiveness on your part or somebody that you feel needs to come to you and ask you forgiveness? Have you ever found that until that gets resolved, it inhibits your walk with God? It does, doesn't it? And those unresolved, I don't know about you, but I don't like things that are unresolved. I can't stand unresolved stuff. I want it to get resolved. And until it gets resolved, especially in the area of forgiveness, I think all of us would agree that it kind of dominates our thoughts. We go to God and pray, and, you know, we go to God and try to worship God. We try to do whatever, and man, it just seemed like that's kind of a dominating force that, you know, either the hurt that we experience or whatever it may be, we've got to deal with that first. So unforgiveness is a topic that we've got to get good at understanding and then good at implementing. Look, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. As surely I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you've paid the last penny. Listen, here's the deal. If we remain in a state of unforgiveness, it actually will hold us in prison. We say it this way. It'll hold us in bondage. Amen? Have you ever met anybody like that? I think I shared a few weeks ago about a lady I prayed for in Holland. That I got ready to lay hands on her and the Spirit of the Lord just stopped me and said, you know what? Ask her if she's ready to forgive. And I won't go into all the stories. She wasn't. And I tell you what, the torment that that lady had to have been in all those years. Okay, something deep happened or whatever, but it'll hold you in bondage. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 23, if you forgive a man of sins, they shall be forgiven him. And if you withhold forgiveness of a man's sins, they are kept. In other words, those that need forgiveness and those that need to offer forgiveness, both parties are held in some sort of a way. They're tied together, right? How many of you know that person that you just believe has wronged you and you believe they for anything to go further in your relationship, you believe they need to come and ask you to forgive them? Or that person that has come to you and you're just not able to offer up forgiveness? You're tied together and both people actually end up in bondage until it's resolved to some degree or another. Do you agree with that? Now, I know that there's sometimes situations in life where somebody is mad at us, offended at us, or whatever it may be, and man, they will not dialogue with you. They will not talk to you, period. And how many of you know, those are tough situations, because how can you fix something that nobody will sit down at the table and talk with you about? Right? Tough stuff. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 25. This kind of gives you a broader picture of how the two are tied together. I'm going to tell the story in a contemporary way. I'll start reading it and then we'll put it in real time. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That was Pastor Rex. Okay? Pastor Rex owed this guy for all the advances in pay that he took because he just had to have that brand new bass fishing boat. Okay? Decked to the nines. It had the number one trolling motor on it. Pastor Rex even had to buy it with, you know, after he got the trailer, he had the tires taken off and had mag wheels put on it. I mean, and of course, any of his Zebco fishing reels wouldn't work. Now he had to have pins. I mean, he had to P-E-N-N. He had to go with the best there was. I mean, he outfitted the thing stem to stern. And boy, that wasn't enough. Now his Ford van that he drives around, that's not enough. He had to get the Hummer. And he had to have the Hummer match. And he had the boat painted to match the Hummer. I mean, we're talking deck to the nines. And what Pastor Rex found is that, you know, he kept going to his boss and saying, could you give me an advance? You know, I'll pay you back and give you advance. And so his boss spent these hundreds of thousands of dollars on Pastor Rex just out of the goodness of his heart. Pastor Rex even got to the place, he kind of got so big in this deal, he didn't like getting fish on his hands. And so he hired a guy by the name of Bubba to help him, that when he got home from fishing at Salmon Dam or wherever he went, Bubba's the one that polished the boat. Bubba's the one that polished the mag wheels. In fact, Bubba's the one that had to get the fish out of the live well and go fillet them. I mean, Pastor Rex kind of moved up. Well, the accounts are getting settled, and so he gets the notice from the CFO, from the accountant, to say, you know, you owe the company a few a few hundred thousand dollars. And, you know, his salary wasn't that much. He only made $10,000 or $15,000 a year. It may gonna take him a lifetime to pay this off if he could ever get it paid off. So he comes and meets with the owner of the company and says, you know what? Dude, I don't have this money, but you know, if you'll have patience with me, I will pay. To which the owner responds and he goes, you know, it was a different area. He goes, well, that's okay. But I'm going to sell you, I'm going to sell your wife, I'm going to sell your children, I'm going to sell everything that you have, and we'll just call that good. Of course, what did Pastor Rex do? He hit his knees, started bawling, snot flying everywhere, tears, oh, please don't. Don't sell my wife, don't sell my kid, I love my kid, man, if you just have patience, I'll pay you back, man, I'll work double time, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Well, King was a good guy, his boss was a good guy, and go, you know what? Okay, listen, how about we just call it good? All your debts are forgiven. Now look at this. Verse 25. He was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife, children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him. Everybody say released him. It's really important. You see, forgiveness can bring release to people. It really can. Look, released him and forgave him his debts. But the servant went out. Now listen, stop right there. Wouldn't you think that Pastor Rex, the first person he would call would be Bubba? And say, Bubba, all's forgiven. Right? He had just been forgiven much. Wouldn't you think that his response would be kind of the concept of that movie that came out a few years ago, Pay It Forward, right? Has somebody ever given you something and maybe when its usefulness for you came to an end, you just felt compelled because it was given to you to give it to somebody else? Maybe it could be a blessing to somebody else's life? For normal people, that's the response. But listen, what this reveals is this reveals something in the heart of Pastor Rex. This reveals something that just wasn't there. Just wasn't right. You see, that's why when it comes to forgiveness, guys, we got to look at ourselves first and foremost. In fact, when you read in the book of Acts chapter 4 and you read the early church response, how those men of old and those women of old, when they were brought before persecution and different things like that, what's interesting is how they responded always by looking inward, never coming against those who wronged them, but they looked inward and asked for God's grace to help them. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I've been wronged, that's not my first response. Are you with me? Are some of you just so much more super spiritual than I am? Don't sometime when somebody wrongs you, you just want to go, all right, cool, Beba. You just watch. As opposed to, God, deal with me. Let me look at me first. So here, Pastor Rex gets on the horn, drives over to Bubba's place, grabs him by the throat and says, look, dude, I want my $100. Give it to me now. What's interesting is he responds with the same words that Rex used to his boss. He said, have patience with me and I will pay you. To which Rex responded and said, that's not good enough. I either want it now or you're going to jail. You're going to be held in bondage. So the guy wasn't able to pay. So Rex puts him in bondage. And that's where the story stays for that guy. Bubba's in jail. So let's just read to make sure we're still on track, sort of. Okay. When the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, that would be Pastor Rex in verse 28, who owed him 100 denarii, I just said $100, he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And he wouldn't, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Your lack of offering forgiveness can also hold somebody else in bondage. Amen? So now, when his fellow servants, so the rest of the church here, finds out how Pastor Rex treated Bubba, knowing that he had been forgiven tons, they were very grieved, came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said, Rex, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you asked, because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Listen, one of the biggest things that we need to understand about forgiveness is the mercy of God. In other words, we're going to read another portion of Scripture that tells us that we need to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Let me ask a question. I want full participation. How many of you have sinned in the last 365 days? Would you please raise your hand and keep them up? Okay, let me ask you a question. How many have sinned, now we're going to get real here. How many of you have sinned that same sin sometime in the last 365 days? So in other words, you've done it more than once. Okay, how many of you have done multiple times throughout your lifetime? Keep your hands up. Okay, some of you are in denial, clearly. All right, go ahead, put your hands down. Let me just ask a question. What if God ever responded to you when you asked for forgiveness of what you've done? If God responded to you and say, you know what? Not doing it. Where would we all be? All however many are in this room, every one of us would be lost. Helplessly, hopelessly. So whenever we think, nope, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Or it hit us so deeply. Listen, not to trivialize it at all, because listen, hurts can be deep. It doesn't matter if it's a valid hurt or anything. If it hurts, it hurts. Are you with me? Okay? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was right, wrong, or indifferent. If it hurts, it hurts. But here's the thing. If we're going to be able to move forward in life, I encourage you to just stop at times and go, God has been merciful to me. In other words, this king said, just as I showed mercy and had pity on you, you, Rex, should have showed mercy and had pity on Bubba. But how many of you know Rex would have had no argument? He goes, but you don't know, sir, how Bubba's treated me. Because what would have boss responded with? Dude, seriously? Your hundreds of thousands of dollars against his $100,000? Do you think you have a case here? Listen, some of us may have been hurt very, very, very deeply. And it may have been despicable, wrong. You know, put every negative adjective you can put to it. It may have just been horrendous. If we are not able to move forward in that, we'll end up in prison, because here's how the story ends. The boss went to Pastor Rex and said, dude, you flat out missed it. And so you know what? You're going to jail. But guess where Bubba was? He was in jail as well. Forgiveness is an issue that can set us both free, or it can bind us up. Now I know that there's situations that we have to come to that we have to end up going it alone. Right? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, that person that is mad at you, is offended at you, he won't talk to you. What do you do? How can you get to reconciliation if the person won't even allow an audience in any form? Email, text, face to face with. How do you get that? So there's times that we have to just go it alone, right? And we have to do what we can do. This happens in every church in the world. Congregation member gets mad at whoever, gets offended at whatever it may be. It may involve the pastor. It may not involve the pastor. It may be somebody sat in their seat. Who knows what it is? Somebody got in line at the church dinner before somebody else. You know, whatever it may be, somebody got the last piece of apple pie and they were, you know, whatever. Or it may be very real. Now how many times I've got this? I'm leaving the church and I do not want you or anybody else to contact me, period. Okay, what are you left with? Well, I'll just tell you, I've done it all. What do you mean? Contact, and it's like, ooh, okay, there's obvious hurt. Can we do this? Now they're mad all over again because they got mad at whatever that caused them to leave. And now that I contacted them, I shouldn't have contacted them, which obviously I don't respect who they are. And are you with me? But then there's some that it comes back. Well, I left the church, sent the letter, don't contact me, only to get back. And he never even called me. So, what do you do? So there's times that you just have to go it alone, that in your heart, you just have to do the best that you can do to say, you know, I'm not going to hang on to this. And it's interesting how there's a whole gamut of people. There's people that sometimes when it seems like they're wrong, it appears that it just runs off them like water off a duck's back, that it just doesn't stick, right? But then there's the other group that are like Velcro. Anything that's just passing through the air sticks, hurts, offends. Right? So you just, come on, we know people like that you just gotta walk on eggs every time that you're around them because you may look at them wrong, you may say something wrong, you may not say something and get, you know, whatever it may be. It just seems like, ooh, how do you even, you know, what do you do? One thing's for sure is most Christians, especially when the hurt is a deep hurt, usually don't want to deal with the issue and will just say, fine, I forgive you. And think everything's okay. How many of you know most of the time it's not okay? We just say that because that's the Christian thing to say. We kind of have to. But there's a couple things that kind of can bring us, and we'll start wrapping this up. And next week we're going to talk further because here's what I think Scripture's clear about. When two Christians have issues, that dynamic of going through the process of forgiveness is one thing. It's not the same thing between a Christian and a non-believer. There's a greater responsibility placed upon the believer. Amen? Now, I say it appears to be clear. I'm not gonna stand in the pulpit and say this is dogma, that this is dogmatically true. But it just appears that in Scripture, when you got two Christians involved, that process is a completely different process than when it involves a Christian and a non-Christian when it comes to the topic of forgiveness. How many of you know you can tell right off the bat that the believer is the one that has to step up to the plate furthest? Look at Luke 6, verse 27. I say to you who hear. So how many of you want to hear this morning? I'm trapping you. I'm just going to tell you right off that. How many of you want to hear this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, cool. All right. Love your enemies. Boy, that's easy. How many of you know you can't love an enemy from afar? Well, that's good. You're not sure. Do good to those who hate you. That's easy. Do good to those who hate you. So somebody that hates you is a type of person that's out, that plots, they're on purpose going to mess with your life. I don't know about you, but I've really never responded to that with, oh, well, look, cool, let me come over and help you mow your yard. Never. And Jesus just keeps ramping this up. Bless those who curse you. Curse you. Any of you ever been cussed out before? Any of you have ever, your intentions that you had to help somebody just turned around, stabbed you in the back, and I mean, what you thought you were doing to help or whatever just ends up, just you're just like, did we just go through the same circumstance and you just get raked over the coals, right? I don't know about you, but I've never responded, oh, thank you, well, I love you too. My flesh just wants to do stuff. Are you there? And pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, I've prayed for those who spitefully. Now, spitefully use you, that means those people that are setting you up to fail and make you look bad. Now, I've prayed for those people before. I'm just not certain that my prayer would qualify for a godly one. Because there's definite prayers that go through my head. It's like, you take them out or I will. Are you with me? It's like, whoo-hoo! So listen, I have a question for us. Is this a suggestion from our Savior? It's not. And He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to Christians. Let me say it this way. He's speaking to people that want to be big boys in Christ, that want to be mature men and women. Now, if you want to be a baby, do not do this. But if you want to grow in God and become mature, let me tell you, this is the level. Look at this now. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. It's like, here, let's match the bruise. And then who steals your cloak, give him your tunic also. So when that criminal breaks in and steals your HD, 57-inch television, I don't know if they make a 57-inch, 52-inch television, if they steal it, make sure that you run out and say, oh, you forgot the Blu-ray disc. Right? Oh, here, would you like jewelry to go with that? Woo! And go to everyone who asks and him who takes away your goods. So they drive off with your lawnmower to use and you don't see it. Say, bless you. I don't know about you, but I read that and there's just part of my flesh just goes, I just want to look at God and go, seriously, you expect me to do that? To which his response is, yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a ways to grow. Whoo. Yeah. Hey, and you can say it back to me. Dude. Now it gets pretty serious in a precious way. Verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you do also to them likewise. So on the topic of forgiveness, if you want men to forgive you, you forgive them. Pastor, you don't know. I'm fed up to hear with them. Or through tears, you don't know how it cut me to the quick. Okay? I agree. Things can hurt very, very deeply. Things we may overreact to. But regardless, 31 is true. As you would have men do to you. So let me just ask you a question. In the next 365 days, do you think you may have, and I'm asking me this too, do all of us in here have the propensity that we're probably going to blow up with somebody else in the next 365 days? Raise your hand. If in that, I hope to have somebody to offer forgiveness to me when I ask and say, I do forgive you, then I'm compelled. I can't get away from the fact I have to be able to forgive then myself. But Pastor, I can't do that. Yes, you can with the help of the Lord. Pastor, it was so deep. Okay, aren't you glad that we can go to the deepest canyon and He's still there? We can uncover the deepest scar. He's there. Amen? Here's one of the things that's important. Well, let's finish this and we'll get to it. Because if you love those who love you, what credit's that? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit's that to you? Even sinners do the same. You know, there's a lot of Christians that show love to those that show them love, do good to those that show them good, and they've deceived themselves thinking they're some big dog Christian. When the real test of whether we're a big dog Christian or not is we can love those who hate us. And when we can do good to those who spitefully use us. That's when we've put on our big boy pants. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit's that? For sinners lend to sinners, and they receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Look at this. Therefore, be merciful, just as. Everybody say, just as. In other words, to the same degree. In other words, imitate. Just as your Father also is merciful. When I find myself having a difficulty in going through the process of forgiveness to somebody that has wronged me, I need to look no further than how God has been merciful to me. And I don't know about you, but He's shown mercy to me more times than I ever deserved. You see, forgiveness isn't about what somebody deserves. It's not about what somebody deserves. Because if that's how God related to us, we're all up the creek and we have no paddle or no boat. We're all stuck. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So here's one of the things that I try to do in those situations that are deep hurts. I try to ask God to help me see that person through His eyes, not through my judgmental eyes. Right? But Pastor, they really wronged me. Okay, you may be right. But I don't want to look at the situation through my judgmental eyes. I want to look at the situation through God's eyes to see where they are. Because let me tell you what, those people in your life that refuse to forgive you, can you imagine what sort of torment they go through on a daily basis? I know that our flesh would go, you know what, they deserve it. It's their own choosing. But let's step up a little bit higher. Let's try to look at it from God's perspective. Can you imagine if they're a Christian, if they say they're a Christian, if they profess to be a Christian? Can you imagine every time they pray, they're faced with, are you going to forgive? Can you imagine that? So their life, spiritually, in many ways, has totally been put on hold. I don't know about you, but that ought to move us as believers. Okay, they've wronged and they've been wacky and they've been whatever it may be. But my heart still is moved with the fact that, you know what? They've been stymied in their Christian walk because they're hanging on to that hurt. That gets me. I don't want to see anybody stymied. And if you do, then you're really reacting from the flesh. Amen? I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. There's really no other way to sugarcoat that. Now look, verse 37 and 38 are tied together in the topic. Verse 38 gets misquoted all the time. But look, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give what? Give no judgment. Give no condemnation. Give forgiveness, and it will be given to you. How? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. In other words, solid. It'll deliver the goods. And running over will it be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you give no judgment, the same measure that you give no condemnation, the same measure that you give forgiveness, it will be measured back to you. Wow. Think about that law of sowing and reaping. We tend to think about the law of sowing and reaping a lot with respect to finances and things like that. And certainly there's a case for that. But I'm going to tell you what. This is specifically talking about judging. Well, they just did me wrong. And then condemning. And I can't believe that da 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 da. And amen? Give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together. So next week we're going to talk about, so how do you do that when there's no response, when there continues to be, you know, what at least what we think of as antagonism or whatever? And then, is forgiveness tied to our feelings? How closely are they tied to our feelings? Because there is. Right, wrong, or indifferent, there is. Your feelings are involved. Amen? When it says, just give you a little bit of a clue, when it says, be merciful as your Father is merciful, that being merciful is an act that we choose to do, regardless of our feelings. Amen? So, we'll delve into this a little bit further next week and just hope. And let me just say this. I'm not going to have an altar call this morning for those that are battling unforgiveness. Certainly, if at the end of the service, is there someone you'd like to pray with or whatever, we'd love to help you through whatever. I just encourage you this way. If you're out there and you're battling either unforgiveness from yourself, and we're going to talk about also forgiving yourself, but if there's just hurt that you've held on to and you're just unwilling to get rid of it, I encourage you, you won't be in a healthy spot. In fact, you're not in a healthy spot right now. Amen? You're in bondage, and I don't want you to stay there. I want you to get free from that. Amen? And I know you want free from it as well. If you're in a situation where there's something in your life that there's somebody that has just cut off all conversation with you, has cut off all interaction with you, what do I do there? You know what? We'll talk about that, but I just encourage you this way. Now just begin to pray for them in a godly way, right? Not in the way that I've hoped to have prayed, right? But in a way that God, and then let's look at ourselves, okay? So Father, in me, because remember in the story of Pastor Rex, what's interesting is sometimes when forgiveness is offered that comes our way, but then we're asked to forgive, it reveals something ugly in our heart, right? Rex went to ask for forgiveness and got it and all of that, happier than a hog in a turnip patch. But when it came time for him to give forgiveness to Bubba, it revealed the ugliness of his heart. So let's ask God to help us to look at ourselves and say, Father, what in me? What Velcro stuff in me do I just need to rip it out? Because I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit that can happen. Amen? Let's bow our head and close our eyes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.